This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration blends classroom learning with extensive field education, guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Hey, Chicago, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Stick around to the very end of the episode to get a rundown of the latest news. But first, let's go for a walk, shall we? Chicago women are stepping out in these streets, and they're promoting positive mindsets. The recent Hot Girl Walk through Chinatown went viral, bringing out women from all backgrounds, each showing up for their own reasons, for fitness, friendship, or just a confidence boost. And it's not slowing down. Ahead of another walk happening this weekend, we're talking with the founders of two women's groups, one local, one global, about what's really behind the movement and why it's resonating right now. At the table was Pamia Opuku, who's founder of The Walking Hour and author of the book Good, Better, Becoming, 21-Day Guided Walking Journey. And Mia Lind, who's creator and founder of Hot Girl Walk, a global community of so-called hot girls who walk together, joined us remotely. Now, there are a lot of ways to get outside and be active once this Chicago weather stops playing around, of course. But I was curious to know what it is about walking that intrigues our guests so much. Pamia, kick things off.
It allows you to focus on the now. And so as you focus on the now, you can then better plan, better posture yourself, and respond to what life throws at you. And when you mix in community, it's important because then it gives you an extra source of reassurance and joy.
Yeah. I love the idea of a solo walk. I, you know, to your point of slowing me down, that is my best time to think and plan.
Yes.
And sort through things, right? And sort through life. But the community aspect of a group gathering is quite appealing.
It's, you know, it's, I can't always make it downtown to brunch. I can't make it to every birthday dinner. But if you say, hey, I'm up at 7, you want to go grab coffee? I need coffee. That means supporting a local business. And that means together.
Mm.
It gives me the best of both worlds. And I want to continue to share that with the world and the community.
Yeah. Mia, the idea of a hot girl walk, I'm hearing it actually started during the pandemic for you.
Yes. So during the pandemic, I was a college student and I was looking for ways to get out of my house. And so I started going on outdoor walks and focusing on the things I was grateful for, my goals and how I was going to achieve them, and what made me feel confident. And that confident feeling led me to kind of rebrand walking. So I started calling these daily walks Hot Girl Walk, and I was doing them for months. Saw a huge change in my mental and physical health. So I actually posted about this concept on TikTok in January 2021, and that video blew up. People around the world just started going on their own hot girl walk. And when COVID restrictions began to lift, it organically started growing into hosting community walk events. So I started, I'm in Los Angeles right now, I'm zooming in. But it started here in Los Angeles and then pretty quickly grew. And now we are in 31 cities around the world, 29 in the U.S.,
wow,
including Chicago, and really just building communities surrounding this positive experience of going outside, going on a walk with a low barrier of activity, and focusing on gratitude, goals, and confidence.
I'm not at all surprised that Hot Girl Walk took off on TikTok. Hot Girl anything, right?
Yeah.
Hot Girl Summer.
Yes. It's such a, TikTok is such an amazing place to grow. I just started using it for the upcoming walk that I have this weekend. And the one video, before I even announced exactly where it was happening, I had like 10,000 views, and now we're up to 18,000 views.
People are ready to get their fitness on.
People are ready to get their fitness on. I've spent 10 years of my career in HR and benefits on the comp side. People need more outlets. There are so many ways that we can combat high blood pressure, hypertension, anxiety, depression. Walking does all of that.
Yeah, tell me more about it. You and me have both touched on the mental health benefits and physical benefits. Talk to me about the impact on your personal life.
My personal life, I just started to see everything as a can-do. I started to, quoting Jay-Z, who said this yesterday, things happen for me, not to me. Mm-hmm. And I started saying that even before I heard Jay say that yesterday. And walking really helped me with that mindset shift, as well as shrink my waist. I've lost over 100 pounds naturally.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And I have walking to really thank for maintaining that and keeping it off. So I can't see anything but positive impacts on walking. Mm. Bad breakup or bad date, go for a walk. Boss sends an email that confuses me, go for a walk. I just started to say walking solves my problems, and I just continuously want to share that joy with other people, which is why I wrote the book.
Yeah, what a wonderful way to look at things. Mia, talk more about your mental health and physical benefits from walking.
Yeah, so at the time, as I mentioned, I was in college, and growing up, I always struggled with my self-confidence. I never really saw myself as somebody who earned the right to be confident, which is such a funny way to think about it now. But I started going on these outdoor walks to confront my negative self-talk that was telling me that I needed to earn the right to be confident. And that's why I always start every walk, every hot girl walk, with gratitude practice, because you take your head out of your own thoughts and your own anxieties, and you just take a moment to be grateful. And there's a lot of research that shows the benefits of gratitude practice and its correlation with happiness. So that's why I start always with gratitude practice. And after doing gratitude practice, I would start to think about my goals and the things that I have achieved, mm-hmm. and finally take ownership of these things for the first time in my life, and actually realize that I actually do earn and do have the right to be confident about these things.
Yes.
And through these hot girl walk practice, I would finally feel confident. So that's why I started calling the walks hot girl walk, because of that feeling. And because I really wanted to change that narrative as, you know, a young Gen Zer growing up with social media, that being hot is the most important thing a woman can be.
Mm.
Because what a woman looks like or how a woman appears is not at all what it takes to have this self-confidence. So focusing on these three things, being a hard worker,
right,
being a confident woman, that's what makes a hot girl.
I love that. Does any of it resonate with you,
Camille? Absolutely.
Do you consider yourself a hot girl too?
I am a hot girl. I'm a baddie walker, everything. So the walking hour is the walking hour, the healing power of a walk, right? And so in that hour that you're walking, you're healing yourself through everything that life throws at us, everything, social media, you're comparing yourself, you start to see yourself in a different light. And that is exactly how I transition. It's funny that Mia said she started walking during COVID, same. And then the community part became, I couldn't see my best friend because we had to social distance. Her husband was a firefighter. So we had to think of something safe to do where we could do it together. And walking just became it. And I was like, well, I started walking. Then I mixed in my best friend. And it just kind of blew up from there. That's how I added the community part to it. Because I love a solo walk. But the healing that we were both going through as COVID was going on.
Right.
Made us both feel good.
Well, it's like you said earlier, it was the best of both worlds.
It's the best of both worlds.
Tell me more about your first season of walking, Pamia. It started last year, the group walks.
Well, the group walks actually started in 2024. So we're actually going on our second year.
Okay, 2 years.
Yeah, last year was our 1 year anniversary, and we did like a walking history tour with Six Figadilla, because I think understanding the history of Chicago, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, the dopest city in the world, was so important to me to share with community.
Oh, okay. This year, Sherman Thomas joined you.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
He's a walker too. And this year it's like taking the love for the city and then putting that love on yourself, which is why I created Good Better Becoming, an actual nod to the city, Good Better. Gotta love the Chicago Bears, and becoming gotta love Michelle Obama. And so now it's like taking the love you have for this city and turning it inward. to love on yourself as you continue to love on community. There's a day in here that it invites readers to walk in community. That's day 17. Mm-hmm. There's in here, we talk about resting, the importance of rest and balancing movement. So it just is this year is all about looking at self and growing self, walking in purpose and being thankful for the journey.
Yeah. I love to hear you talk about the message because, I mean, when I first heard that we were doing this conversation and I started to sort of brainstorm about groups of women walking together. Where have I seen this before? What does it make me think of? I think of course, like the Women's March, right? Mm-hmm. Fighting for women's rights and democracy. I thought of the slut walk that was, you know, pioneered by Amber Rose many years ago against rape culture and sexual violence. There's always a massive story to be told or a massive message. But something about what you folks are doing, kind of bringing it just back to a human level of just like, we just want to get together.
We
just want to empower each other, encourage each other. I think there's something really special about that.
It's such like a sisterhood. It's a sisterhood that really costs you nothing but your time. And then when you invest that time, you get so much out of it.
Right.
The connections you make, how you feel about yourself after, you feel hot, right, Mia? Like you feel hot, you feel ready to take on the world. And for me, that's so important to share and so important to see, especially in this climate.
Right. Mia, talk more about the power of just women walking outside together.
Yeah, you really cannot deny the innate power that women all hold when they come together. And whenever we do our events, sometimes we'll have hundreds of people. Our walk at Ping Tom the other weekend mm-hmm. had over 100 people there. And there's really nothing visually more powerful than that. Women joining together and Hot Girl Walk, our big color is pink.
Yes.
And so women proud to be women, proud of their femininity, join together, walking. Whenever we do our events, we're always stopped by people. And it really goes to show the power. And what I always say at the end of every single one of our Hot Girl Walk events is you want to take the energy and that momentum that we create in our community. And it doesn't end once we all leave and go about our lives. Mm-hmm. We take that energy and we carry it with us throughout the entire day. Because my goal as a founder is to create the world that I wish I grew up into. Mm. The world that tells women that the most powerful thing you can be is together, united, confident, and powerful.
Wow.
And it really, there is such that alignment there with walking and women's roots in walking. I mean, the suffrage, women's suffrage, I've done so much research on this. Women have been walking and have found their power in walking for decades. That's not something that, you know, either of us here have invented, but it's something that we've obviously joined in on and continue
sure.
to spread throughout, you know, our generations.
Yeah, you just touched our souls here yes. in the studio with that, Mia.
It's so funny that you said that, Mia, because something I just wrote on, I think, on my Facebook is that I used to always say, be the change you want to see in the world. And this is the change that I want to see, women coming together, supporting each other, you know. And what I love about the walking hour is our ability to support local businesses.
Oh, tell us more about that.
So we specifically try to start and stop at a local minority-owned or female-owned business because supporting a local business supports someone else's dream, right? And we all as walkers have these dreams. We're all having things we're aspiring to do. So if we can pair our time and efforts while we're out doing that together, mm-hmm. everybody, it's a win-win situation. So this weekend, we're stepping off at Sip and Savor, which is a local-owned coffee shop. We're also going to pass by Bronzeville Panini for their second anniversary to stop. So it's like, how do we combine the ability to impact change within our local communities, bring people together, and keep people moving?
I love that.
And I just have a really big passion for figuring out ways to do that across the city. And I'm excited about the upcoming walk-in season.
So those are the stops for your walk this weekend. But tell us more. What should we know? Where does it start? Where do folks meet you if they want to join?
Yes. So we're starting this weekend on 43rd Street in beautiful historic Bronzeville at Sip and Savor. So get there around noon. We'll be walking off around 12:40 and we'll loop around. We'll talk. We'll show each other love. And then you can pre-order if you're going to be taking part of this walk, your Bronzeville panini. We'll stop by, be able to pick those up, and then loop on back to 43rd. So we'll get there at noon. We'll walk. We'll take off for our walk at 12:40. We're asking everyone to wear shades of brown and nude. It's spring, kind of relax, and nude looks good on every
Everybody.
Shade of woman.
Yes.
So it's like, how do we be inclusive? And one of the things that I love about walking is the ability to be inclusive.
Yes.
Everybody might not want to take a spin class. Everybody might not take a HIIT class. But walking we can all do. And so we can pull up Sip and Savor on Saturday, wearing your nude, and get ready just to be in community, grab a great coffee, because I love their coffee. And yeah, we're going to stop by Bronzeville Panini.
Just seeing you all passing by, you know, for passersby, it's going to be striking seeing everybody in their new. It's going to be a similar effect to that hot girl walk, everybody in pink.
Everybody, yeah. Right? It's like, how do we, it's our uniform, it's our armor.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to lead this journey and continue to do that all spring and summer.
Yeah. Mia, how about Hot Girl Walk Chicago? When's the next one?
So we haven't announced it yet, but I'll give everyone here an inside scoop.
All right.
Our next Hot Girl Walk Chicago is on April 11th. We'll be meeting at Ping Tong Memorial Park. For more details, you can find on our Instagram at Hot Girl Walk. It's not posted yet, but it will be. We're going to post it on our Instagram, post it on our newsletter. And our incredible ambassador, Hot Girl Walk ambassador, Elena, will be leading the Hot Girl Walk in Chicago. She's local to Chicago, mm-hmm. and she's really amazing. So I wanted to give her a shout out as well.
Awesome. And all and in the loop details. Exclusive, April 11th.
Yes, an exclusive Hot Girl Walk drop here.
And where can folks go to find more information?
On hotgirlwalk.com or our Instagram at hotgirlwalk, no spaces.
Awesome. And Pamia, where can they find you?
_ the walking hour. And you can also find information on walkingwithpamia.com. That's walkingwithpamia, PAMIYA.com. We look forward to walking together in community and joy with you.
Pamia Opuku is founder of The Walking Hour. She's also author of the book Good, Better, Becoming, 21-Day Guided Walking Journey. And Mia Lind is creator and founder of Hot Girl Walk. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed artistic director Alicia Graf Mack. Plus, 5 Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration is designed to prepare students to lead in the social sector by combining classroom learning with field education and 5 focused pathways. The final deadline for the program is April 1st. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork.
Let's turn now to the top news stories of the day with WBEZ Morning Edition anchor Claire Lane, All Things Considered producer Noah Jennings, and sports contributor Cheryl Ray Stout. Opening day for the White Sox and the Cubs is here. It's here, folks. Baseball fans are thrilled, and so is this panel. Claire chimed in first.
A lot of excitement today. Chicago comes alive in the spring for the weather, but we also come alive for spring baseball.
We sure do.
It's going to be a very fun afternoon ahead.
Yeah, you're wearing your Sox gear right now, Noah.
100%. There's no other option. It's opening day. That's what you have to do.
And I painted my nails red.
I was just going to say, are those, you know, in
these
the
are
spirit?
These are cubby nails.
Cubby nails.
Yes. Cheryl knows it's all about juju and tradition and the vibe.
Yeah, Cheryl, you're actually at Wrigley Field right now. How's it going?
I'm in the press box right now. They just opened up the windows, so we'll have the nice warm breeze until it gets really cold and possibly rain later on.
Absolutely. What is going on ahead of the first pitch?
Well, right now, the grounds crew's keepers, they're making sure everything is nice and, you know, sparkling. Everything is in place. You're seeing some people set up for interviews right along the by the dugouts. Fans are still now, they're outside, but several bars are already open. So I'm sure they're going to be pretty wasted by the time they walk in here.
Murphy's open at 6 a.m., Cheryl.
I am not surprised. I'm so not surprised. I want to hear from all of you. What are you looking forward to this season? You first, Cheryl.
Well, I'm looking for two things. I want to see the White Sox make improvements going forward with their team. But with the Cubs, they got to make that next step. 10 years ago, they made the World Series. And what happened was the year before, they did what the Cubs did last year. They played well, but they didn't make it beyond, you know, the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see how Alex Bregman, who is excellent third baseman that they signed for 5 years for $175 million. Their infield is very solid. Their outfield is pretty solid. But Seiya Suzuki will not be in the lineup. He's on the injury list.
Noah, what are you looking forward to this season?
Well, similarly to what Cheryl said, I think the most exciting part about this Sox team is obviously, there's been a lot of dark days recently, but we've seen the influx of young talent start to come up through the system at the end of last season. Now you're going to get a full season with a lot of these young guys. You know, after the All-Star break last year, the team was playing a lot closer to 500 ball with players getting their very first taste of major league action. So you've got guys like Colson Montgomery, Chase Mydroth, Edgar Caro. Kyle Teal's injured right now, but we should be seeing him soon. Those guys are going to be getting their first full-fledged, full-season experience. And there's more coming, too. There's more players that are going to be coming up through this. So this is the part that should be fun. You know, you never know if a team is ultimately going to pan out when they do these big rebuilds in terms of reaching the heights of a championship or something like that. But this is the part where it's exciting. There's promise in the air. You get to see the fruits of the labor of trading away all of your favorite players for these prospects that are question marks. You get to see them on the field
and
now.
And we finally get to dry our Sox tears.
Yes. Mm.
Claire, what are you looking forward to for the Cubbies?
P-C-A. PCA. Pete Crow Armstrong won the hearts of many of us bleacher bums last season, was an all-star, has been a really big ticket seller for the Cubs, and fans just love him. It was actually his 24th birthday yesterday, and also the icing on his cake, so to speak, was locking down reportedly a $115 million contract with the Cubs, so he's going to be here potentially till he's 30, but he incites that electricity, he gets people riled up, and it's to Cheryl's point, you know, the Cubs now have to put some of that money in action. And I think we're kind of excited to see what happens.
Yeah. And talking about the Sox, Cheryl, new Japanese player Munetaka Murakami is here. Are you excited about him?
I think he should be really good for that lineup. He's going to be batting sixth today against the Milwaukee Brewers. And to have power like that, he really warmed himself up to the media and to the fans when he first signed. And to have somebody that can have that power can really help offset any type of lack of power with other players. But he's going to be somebody that, and they're going to have a lot of Japanese media following him, which is something that's interesting. We see it with the Cubs having a lot of Japanese media. We'll see a lot with the White Sox now, too.
Here's White Sox manager Will Venable assessing how his team is looking ahead of the season.
You know, a group that's ready, you know, and I don't know whether we're going to surprise people or not. I'm not sure we really care. You know, we're so focused on what we're doing. You know, people are going to find out one way or the other about how we go about our business. And I know right now the focus is just to do those things and commit to those things. And these guys are so committed to each other and believe in each other. Yeah, just can't wait for it to show up on opening day.
And this kind of points to what Noah brought up earlier. It feels like a new energy with this roster, right?
It 100% does. You know, you go through three straight seasons of losing 100 games. there is sort of a mentality of the only way is up from there. But at the same time, there are all these young guys. They're positive. They want to be here, it feels like, which I know sounds like a low bar, but you watch them, you listen to them, especially
they're
with
just
Murakami.
Happy to be here.
Especially with Murakami. I think from what I've seen so far of him in spring training, there's just such an enthusiastic presence that he brings also. And I think that fans want to feel proud of this team, and they haven't been able to in a while. And these guys really feel like they're playing to make the fans proud of their team again.
Yeah, Cheryl, before we move on to some other news, tell us more about the energy with this roster. And White Sox fans want to know, what are the realistic odds that they're going to make it to the playoffs, Cheryl?
I don't know about playoffs, but not having 100 losses.
All right, really I tried.
But I'll tell you, the one thing that's going to be interesting is that there's Luis Robert was traded. And so it's interesting to see what's going to happen in center field with a young rookie, Luis Daniel Acuna. If he can play as well as he's expected to play, that's going to help settle some things down in the outfield. And the fact is, their starting pitching has to produce. They have to be able to go more than four or five innings. They have to be able to, you know, get guys out. And the back end of their bullpen is going to be interesting because they have Sir Anthony Dominguez, who was with Toronto last year. He was in the postseason, so he brings that type of moxie to be on the back end of the bullpen. The one concern that was really difficult to see was when Mike Vassell, he had an injury during spring training. He's out the year with Tommy John. So they have to stay healthy. They have to really, you know, produce runs. They have to make smart defensive plays, mm-hmm. and they have great pitching.
All right, go Sox, go Cubs, go Jays.
And we should tell you, Cheryl Raystout is the source. She is one of the few reporters still in the press box at Wrigley, because I've seen it with my own two eyes, to have her own nameplate, Cheryl Raystout, WBEZ, her designated area.
A legend, that woman. Claire, let's move on to some City Hall news here. Mayor Johnson has, as expected, vetoed a measure that was approved by the City Council to freeze sub-minimum wage increases for tipped workers. What did the mayor say about his decision to just go against City Council?
So it's his third official veto, so he's being pretty serious about this one, calling it a tone-deaf decision, getting pretty emotional by the City Council's, you know, effort to sort of keep the minimum wage at $12.62, the tipped minimum wage, you know, without any paid tips on top of that. He said, you know, families are struggling under the weight of rising costs and rent and groceries, childcare, all of it, and that wages have not kept up with these rising costs. So he's trying to align more with what, you know, working people need.
Hence the U-turn on that one fair wage ordinance.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we heard this on your show with Mariah Wolfel last week, sort of both sides of this argument on In the Loop, talking with restaurant owners, you know, who say that this pay freezing the pay bumps is hurting restaurants, it's hurting the economy. But then also hearing the other side of that story, talking with tipped workers, saying that that decision would actually hurt them, especially women and women of color.
Mm, yeah. Yesterday, Noah, was a busy day for Mayor Johnson. He was in Ukrainian Village to unveil Abolish ICE, which is the newly named City of Chicago Snowplow. That was the winner of the fourth annual Snowplow naming contest. And apparently, anti-ICE names were very popular among the entrants this year. I wonder why.
Well, it was something around 80% of submissions when they first opened it for submissions were either Abolish ICE or something related to that. So this has been known for a little while now, for a few months, that this is the direction is going to go. It was the official unveiling yesterday. I wanted to quickly go through the other names because there were six in total that got named. They do this every year.
Us.
So we've got Stephen Colbert after the Late Show host. You've got Pope Frio the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Blizzard of Oz. For those who don't know, the author of The Wizard of Oz wrote it from his Humboldt Park home.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Sven Cooley.
That's good.
And
I like that one.
My personal favorite, Caleb Chilliams. It's remarkable to me that a Bears quarterback within two seasons of their career has made this much of an imprint on the City of Chicago. A quarterback, people. That's pretty crazy.
Now, sticking with you, Noah, the famed Route 66, it's got a new honorary starting point right here, Navy Pier.
Yeah, right here at Navy Pier. They had a fun little ceremony at Harry Carey's yesterday to unveil it. Route 66, the official start is sort of around Jackson, Michigan. There's been a sign around Adams and Wabash as well for that. This is more of an honorary designation. It's a nice sign, and it's meant to sort of spiritually line up with the end of Route 66 because that's at Santa Monica Pier, and so pier-to-pier is sort of the idea.
I like that.
I do, too, and it was funny. I was actually in Santa Monica this past summer, and I'm a sucker for all the tourist traps, the stores, all that,
right?
And I didn't know that Santa Monica was the end of Route 66, and so when I went to go pick out my shirt that, of course, I had to purchase, I was like, oh, I'm getting the Route 66 one because it says Chicago on it, so somewhere, and it's small. Santa Monica is still the main thing, but it's, you know, it's Chicago's on there, so of course I got to get that one.
That's so cool. Speaking of vacations, makes me think of this weather here, Claire, and how I want to kind of get out because I can't with the swings, right? It's confusing. It's frustrating. It's warm. It's cold. It's raining. It's
unsettling.
It's hailing. Yes. Can you make it make sense?
No, I cannot. But at least we've got the sun for now. At least the first pitch at Wrigley should be under partly sunny skies. We're going to see a high close to 70 by this late morning. And then your least favorite thing, the temperatures are going to take a very powerful swing downward. A cold front going to bring some severe thunderstorms. Tornadoes are possible with
this,
with damaging winds. Wow. Yes, you're right. Earlier this month, a total of 10 tornadoes hit our region. We also had that record-breaking sized hail. Reportedly, a National Weather Service saying we could see hail around the size of a baseball today. Mm-hmm. Kind of ironic. But by this evening, we'll sort of gradually decrease. We'll be in the 50s, 40s, and then a low tonight near 30.
Well, while the temperatures go down, it looks like our population is going up.
That's right, Sasha. The number of people in the Chicago region grew for the third straight year, but now we're starting to grow at a little bit of a slower pace. This is new data say this is largely due to nationwide reduction in international immigration. Mm-hmm. Census Bureau reporting growth in Cook County last year was estimated to be just under 6,000 people, which again is a slightly slower growth. But in some of our neighboring counties, so Southwest Kendall County and Will County, they each added 15,000 new residents. Wow. So there is growth. It's just not happening in Cook County at that same speed.
What else are you watching?
Yeah, this was another couple of videos that went viral overnight. Another so-called teen takeover was in the loop. And we do see this when temperatures start to rise. People want to be outside. That includes Chicago's youth. But this large gathering of kids downtown prompted a curfew enforcement order. This was a post from Alderman Brian Hopkins said that the gathering in his eyes got out of control so much so that he wanted to get that curfew enforced, issued it around 10 p.m., and then the group slowly dispersed around 10:40. Mm. We haven't gotten any official word yet on any damage to property or if any arrests were made, but the curfew orders are coming out.
All right. Well, Noah, I'm curious. What else are you following? There's so much on your desk.
Oh, always. One thing that's interesting to me today in particular is you've got an auction of all sorts of Abraham Lincoln memorabilia hitting the auction block. It opens up today. All sorts of interesting stuff on there. Now, there is a little bit of scandal kind of that goes along with it. Some controversy. So a lot of this memorabilia is stuff that very closely resembles items that were sold by a woman named Louise Taper. She had millions of dollars worth of Lincoln memorabilia, and she had intended for it to be held in the state-run Lincoln Museum till the end of time.
Right.
And now these things are up on the auction block by unknown buyers. And this happened last year once with about $8 million worth of memorabilia. She was unhappy then. So we've got some more hitting the auction block today. It's curious to see where that goes to, if any of it finds its way back into a museum somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to list off some of the highlights of
real
items.
Quick.
We've got a bust of Abraham Lincoln biographer Carl Sandburg. It was owned by Marilyn Monroe.
Hmm. Who knew?
We've got another bust of Ulysses S. Grant. And my personal favorite, locks of hair from the head of John Wilkes Booth after he was murdered.
Oh my gosh.
So if you've ever been looking for 150-year-old murderer's hair, today's your lucky day.
Check out that auction.
You gotta get to that auction.
WBEZ's Noah Jennings, Claire Lane, and Cheryl Raystout.
This episode of In the Loop was produced by me, Micah Yason, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. Thanks for listening.